It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
France's newest contribution to culture, a proposed tax on mobile phones.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. French politicians have their eyes on a potential new source of revenue, smartphones and tablets. France is considering the idea of putting a tax on these mobile digital devices in an effort to fund French culture. From Marketplace's European desk, Stephen Beard joins us live now from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, David.
Why are they picking on smartphones and tablets?
Well, this is a proposal, but it's one that the Minister of Culture has eagerly endorsed. The plan is for a new tax of around 4% on smartphones and tablets like iPhones, Androids and Kindles, and the cash would then be used to fund French movies, TV and music. Yes, there is such a thing. The French have always been acutely concerned about protecting and boosting their culture, which they feel is constantly threatened by Anglo-Saxon culture. At the moment, there are taxes on TV stations and cinema chains and on TV and radio sets to fund French culture. This proposal would extend the tax to new media.
All right. What's the reaction been so far, though?
Well, there's a group called Digital Europe, which represents smartphone manufacturers. And as you might expect, they say this is a step in the wrong direction. They say it'll deter the development of new media and new technologies in France. But Douglas Yates, a professor at the American University in Paris, says, don't you believe it, the French won't turn their backs on the new digital technologies.
It's become, I think, the principal form of communication, and particularly among younger generations. If you take a teenage girl in France and you make her unwired, she'll go through withdrawal syndrome. So, no, they'll pay the tax like they do on cigarettes.
And this is why the proposed new tax appeals so much to the French government. The thinking is people are reluctant to pay for content, but they will pay through the nose for hardware.
Always great to talk to you, Stephen. Marketplace's European editor, Stephen Beard, in London. A powerful American investor wants Sony of Japan to split off its successful movie, music, and other entertainment businesses. Daniel Leib's hedge fund owns more than $1 billion of Sony's stock, about 6% of the company. Leib thinks breaking up the conglomerate would generate welcome cash for Sony's troubled electronics division, and he hopes radically boost the price of his shares. Analysts say Sony's leadership is likely to resist the idea. Now let's do the numbers. London's FTSE 100 index currently down 0.1%. The Nikkei in Japan closed down not quite 0.2%. The Shanghai Composite in China fell about 1.1%. The dollar is down about 0.1% at 101.64 Japanese yen.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
In South Africa, a wildcat strike has halted production in a crucial platinum mine, site of a bloody unrest last year. The mine's owner, Lonmin, is the number three platinum producer in the world. Authorities are still looking into why the workers have gone on strike, although a killing of a union organizer in a tavern over the weekend is being investigated. In China, controversy is swirling around the country's most celebrated movie director, Zhang Yimou, faces a $26 million fine for fathering seven children. Violation of China's one-child policy. As Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, the case is stirring up public anger about inequality between China's rich and poor.
Zhang Yimou is famous for directing the films Hero and Raise the Red Lantern.
The effect inside this stadium is absolutely electrifying.
If you saw the extravagant opening ceremony for the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, yep, he directed that too. Mr. Zhang was also a prolific father, according to state media. At least seven children with up to four women, a big no-no in a country that's restricted most urban couples to one child for the past three decades. Yet in this scandal, Chinese social media sites are lighting up not about the one-child policy, but about what this says about the gap between China's rich and poor. Chinese cultural critic Zhu Dake teaches at Shanghai's Tongji University.
This is stirring up a lot of discontent among Chinese people. It reflects an opinion many share, that in Chinese society, people with power can do whatever they want and have as many kids as they wish, while poor people are deprived of all their rights.
The first indication that Zhang had broken China's one-child policy reportedly came last year when an actress who failed an audition for Zhang's last film posted the information on the internet. Chinese social media observer Jeremy Goldcorn says turning to the internet for justice or revenge has become common in China.
The internet generally is really the only place that Chinese people can turn to if they feel that they are victims of an injustice. You know, there is also a negative side to it. And there is a sort of vigilantism, which can be pretty nasty. It's a kind of a kangaroo court mentality.
What's left now of the Zhang Yimou scandal are Chinese internet users using Weibo, Chinese version of Twitter, to vent. A comment from one user echoed thousands of comments on Zhang's transgressions. Rich people are above the law, the user ranted. The fact that Zhang Yimou had seven children is the epitome of China valuing money above everything else. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And digital schmidgetal, new research shows that when it comes to where Americans spend the most time getting their news, it's so-called old media by far. The Poynter Institute got a hold of an analysis by the business consultants McKinsey & Company. Sure, enormous numbers of people browse online and check headlines on smartphones, but they apparently do that quickly while slowly luxuriating over the news the time-tested way. If the analysis is right, TV gets 41% of our news consumption, print 35%, radio 16%, which is twice as much as digital journalism, which recorded just 8% of time spent with news. As the radio man on the cart in medieval times once said, I'm not dead. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.